And Abraham ran. Here's an old man, and he's running. Now, over the past week at the Holiday Bible Club, I had the theme with the boys and girls. It was runners in the Bible, people who ran. And we sought to bring out lessons to the boys and girls about people who ran in the Bible. And we think there of the youngest runner, we thought of Samuel. How God called him, and yet he ran to Eli, but Samuel ran. He's the youngest runner. And we encourage the boys and girls that God is calling them, will come to Jesus Christ. And then we spoke about the happiest runner in the Bible. And we thought of one man, we thought of Zacchaeus. He ran looking for Christ, and it tells us when he found him, he received him joyfully. You see, what a change the Lord Jesus makes in our life when we turn from our sin and we come and trust Christ. And I took him to be the happiest runner in the Bible. And then we had looked at the bravest runner in the Bible. And I thought of young David. When David was faced with this great giant, Goliath, who was over 9 foot high, it tells us David ran. David ran at him because the Lord was with him. And I told the boys and girls, I said, well, I feel he's the bravest runner. And then we had a wee look at the quickest runner in the Bible that I thought, maybe some people contradict these ones of mine, but this is what I came up with. The quickest runner in the Bible we looked at was Elijah. For he raced a horse into Jezreel. Ahab was on the chariot. And he beat him. He ran for about maybe 16 or 20 miles. He had no fancy trainers on him or fancy kit. He didn't train for it or anything, but he beat him. And then we looked at the saddest runner in the Bible, and we took this to be the rich young ruler. He came running to Jesus Christ. And he asked that great question, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And when Christ told him to follow me and take up the cross, he went away grieved. And I said, he's the saddest runner in the Bible. He ran, he was sad. He didn't obey the rules. Repent, believe the gospel, and follow Christ. That's what we were really doing with the boys and girls there at Holiday Bible Club and during the week. And so I thought then, what am I going to speak on this morning? And this came to me about Abraham, the oldest runner in the Bible. Abraham ran. He's running. He's around about 100 years old at this particular time. And Abraham rises because the Lord appears and two angels. And it tells us what he did. Friends, he arose to do a work for God. And he's running. He's running to do this work. And he's an old man. He's doing a work. Well, I want us to speak about this work that Abraham did here that we find in running. And you see Abraham's service here in his running, because we read in this passage that he arises. And I want you to see, he's arising to serve the Lord. This is why he is running. It says in verse 1, and the Lord appeared unto him, the Lord of glory, the Lord of his salvation, the Lord of heaven and earth. He appears, he comes here to Abraham, right to where Abraham lives. And Abraham rises and he runs. He's running. He wants to do a service to the Lord. So Abraham rises immediately for this service. You could think he could have called many of his servants to do this work. Because over there in Genesis 14 and verse 14, it tells us about the number of his trained servants were 318. Abraham could have clicked his finger. He could have raised his voice. He could have given the order to some of his servants. And he could have said, listen, arise and look after the Lord and these two angels, these two men. But dear friends, he arose himself. Abram got up. He got up to do this service on to the Lord, you see. Abram had control over his household, but Abram got up. He could have made the excuse also that he was too old. He was 99 years old at this particular time in his life. He could have said, I'm too old to arise. He could have said, I'm too old to do anything for God. My friends, there's life in his body. There's breath in his body. There's love in his heart for Jesus Christ. He wasn't too old. There's a wee work for Jesus even old people can do. even you in this meeting. He could have said, it's too hot. Because we see here in verse 6 that he sat in the heat of the day. He's out of his sun. It's very hot out here out in the east. He could have said, well, it's too hot. But no, dear friends, Abram's running. He's running. He wants to do this service unto the Lord who had come to his home, to his place. You see that in verse 3. He says, my Lord, if now I have found favor and thy sight passed on away, I pray thee from thy servant, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread. And so we find here that this whole service, it was unto the Lord. He wasn't doing it for show. He was doing it unto Christ. This man, this old man, this saint of the Lord, you see. And so we find here in this work of Abram, what he's running to do, his service, he's doing it unto the Lord. I want to say to all of us here this morning, there's a work for Christ that all of us can do. And I'm glad over the past week there were people in the congregation arose and put their hand to the work. It's not a one-man ministry in any shape or form. There are people arose to help out. Now, some cannot, and I see that in congregations. But there were people who arose to do what they could for Christ at this particular time. The bus, the crafts, the games, the cleaning, the cooking, the teaching, keeping order, whatever the case was, there were people who did arise, you see. There's a little work for Jesus that only you can do. Whatever that may be. But I want to tell you here this morning, there is a work you can do. There is a work. The Lord has saved us. He hasn't brought us to heaven. One day he will bring us to heaven, but he has left us here in this world to be a light for Jesus Christ and to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a work. There's a work for all of us, whether we're young or whether we're old. There's a work that you can do for Christ. You can pray. You say, I can hardly walk, but can't you pray? Can you pray for the minister? Can you pray for the session? Can you pray for the Sunday school teachers? Pray for the school. There's a lot of things. You can send out gospel tracts. I remember meeting someone sometime and says, well, here's what I do. I go through the address book or the phone book and a telephone book, and I get addresses and I put in gospel tracts into people I don't even know, and I post them off. You see, friends, there's a work that we can do for Jesus Christ. Let's not make excuses. Abraham could have said, I'm too old. Abraham could have said, well, it's too hot. Let's not make excuses. Let's not pass the buck on to someone else. You see, we are to serve the Lord. He arose to do it himself. And we do it unto Christ. We had to remind ourselves, whatever we do for the Lord Jesus Christ, and our people came here last week, whatever you have done in the past week, I trust you did it unto Christ. That's where the blessing is. That's where the reward is. We do it unto Christ. In Colossians 3 and verse 23 and 24, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And I said to those who came over the past week, whatever you have done in the past week, whatever you did in the past week, you did it to Christ. You did it unto the Lord, you see. We arose. Maybe there are some people that missed the opportunity. Maybe because of work, you cannot come, and I may grant it. But maybe you could have done something in the past week and didn't do it. Missed the opportunity. Abram wasn't going to miss this opportunity, friends. Here's a chance to do a work for Christ. And he arose and he ran to do it. And so we see Abram's service here in this running. We see Abram's speed in it as well, because you can see the speed and haste that this man served the Lord. In verse 2, it says that he ran to meet them. In verse 6, they have the word, and Abram hastened. He says to his wife, make ready. In verse 7, he ran. And again, you have the word hasten in verse 7. So here's a man, and he's running about. He's full of zeal. He's full of life. He wants to serve the Lord. The Lord of glory has come right down where he lives, and he's running with all his heart, friends, to do what he could for Jesus Christ. He's running. And remember, as I said here, he's 99 years old. He's 99 years old. I came across yesterday, I was looking to see who was the oldest runner. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name. It was some Indian man. I think he lived in London, and he's running at 101 years old. Well, you can be sure you're not seeing me running about with a pair of shorts on me at 101 years old. You wouldn't say, how do you see me now? But never mind. He's out trying to run about, and was running about up to that particular age. Abram was 99 years old. And friends, he's running. As I said to you, it's the hottest part of the day. But you see, Abram meant business for God. This was urgent business. And as soon as the Lord appeared and these two angels in verse 1, he arose and he ran. He ran, friends. I want to tell you, his heart is full of love, and full of zeal for Jesus Christ. He's an old man. The Lord encourages me in the Free Church. I've been around a lot of free churches now because I'm an evangelist again. Encourage me to see the older folk of the congregation still going on with the Lord. I'm in a free church, I would say, over 35 years now. And if people can probably remember me coming to a free church, at her in those early days, coming into meetings and all. But nevertheless, 35 years on, I see people still going on with God in this congregation and other churches. They still have a zeal. They still have a love. They want to bring the gospel to people, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it encourages my heart greatly. It encourages my heart to see young people, of course, to see them filling in the gaps. But to see old people arising, still arising, even in the past week. And I'm sure not offend anyone who's saying that, the older people, the congregation, were at the front. There's some good footballers among them as well. So there were some who were running about as well, playing with the boys and girls. But just to see the love, the zeal in their heart again. 99 years old. Still loving Jesus Christ. Still want to do so, whatever we can do, friends. Some people's unable to do these things, and I grant this. Oh, that we would serve the Lord with haste, with excitement, with zeal within our hearts. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, with whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I tell you, friends, sometimes we can do it half-heartedly. I don't know about you, or lukewarmness. We all hate half-heartedness, don't we? If you're somebody working for you, and they only work with half a heart, and they hardly worked at all, you wouldn't like it. And I loved playing football years ago. And if I had a boy playing the same team as me, and he wasn't really interested in playing for half a heart, I didn't like it one bit. Well, are we going to serve the Lord with no zeal? No heart. You get heart into our work, you say. We do it with haste also. It's urgent business. The salvation of souls here at stake. We find in Acts 8 verse 30 about Philip running to Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and saith, understandest thou what thou readeth? Here we have a man running out in the desert, and he's running to a man who's concerned about his soul. And Philip has the answer. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and he's running to this man to bring the answer. I want to say to this congregation today, there's a lot of rubbish from out there today in the name of Christ. A lot of people preaching false gospels. You and I have the answer. We have it here. We have it in this book. Well, then let's run to bring it out. Let's have zeal in our heart to bring this message out to people, to men and women and boys and girls who are lost without Jesus Christ. Let's have haste. This is, of course, an urgent business. Souls need Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Who's going to tell the people of Portadown if you don't go out with the gospel? We've got to run out with this message. Full of zeal. Do what we can. You know, our life is short as also. That's why we should make haste. We were singing, with only one life on this earth, and like vapor, it's vanishing away. That's my testimony. I'm sure it's testimony of many of my friends and so on and over the years here in the Free Church. Our life is fast coming to an end. One opportunity then to be a light for Christ. One opportunity to serve Him. So let us do all that we can. Life is short. Because the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10, "And whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest." And we have only one opportunity to be a light for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're placed in the grave, friends. And that opportunity is over. So let's run. In a spiritual sense, of course, let's run, friends. Let's run for Christ. Remember Christ's great service for us. He left heaven. He came to do the Father's will. He came into this world to bleed and to die for our sins. Let us follow our Master, the Lord Jesus, in this work. We think of Abraham's sacrifice in his work, because we find that he wanted to make a meal for the Lord and these two men who were two angels. And we can find what he made, because he talked about his wife about make ready, verse 6, 3 measures of fine meal, kindled, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran and fetched a calf tender. So he was making this meal, and it was a wonderful meal. It was one of my favorite meals. It's going to be steaks. And you can see here that there was no half measures with this man. The Lord has come to his home. And Abraham wants to give his best, his very best. And he's running to give his best for God. And friend, he's making these steaks. He's making sure they're made properly. He's giving his best. Over in Genesis 19, it talks about the two angels that they went to the house of Lot. And it was Mr. Douglas brought this out in his little booklet on Abraham. And he brought out about in chapter 19, verse 3, because the two angels then went to Lot's house. And you can see what Lot made them. It says, "And he pressed upon them," Genesis 19, verse 3, "greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and to bake unleavened bread, and they did eat." And as Mr. Douglas brought this out, he made them a feast and he made bake unleavened bread, a bit like cream crackers. That's what Mr. Douglas brought out in his book, and I thought it was a very good point. He called it a feast, but he gave him cream crackers. If you ask me for the dinner and says, "No, they're coming for a feast in my house and give me cream crackers," well, it might be making me too much please, isn't that right? But not Abraham. Not Abraham. He made this feast. There was steak. It was the best. There was sacrifice involved here in his running for God. He was running, I tell you, he was running to give his best. And the early disciples were of the same spirit, of course. They laid all on the altar for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read over in Acts chapter 4, verse 34 and verse 35 about people who had lands and they sold and brought the prices and laid all down at the feet of the apostles. They were giving everything to Jesus Christ. There's a cost in serving the Lord. Every one of us. But to give ourselves. Bible says that in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5, first give their own selves. Give yourself. The Lord wants our hearts. He wants our love. He wants our devotion. Give ourselves. I say to young people in this meeting, you can do nothing better in this meeting than to pray with all your heart to Christ. Says, "Lord, I surrender all to Jesus Christ. I give all to thee." Don't we not sing it sometimes? "All to Jesus I surrender." I tell you, friends, sometimes we sing things and it's not true. We don't surrender all. Let's lay all on the altar for the Lord Jesus Christ. Give our very best to him. Whatever your best may be, you may say, "Well, it's not really much, Noah." But I tell you, friend, give your best. We have all different gifts and talents, no doubt about this, but let's give all to Jesus Christ. Over in Malachi chapter 1, it tells us about people the Lord rebuked. The Jewish people of that day, he says, "Well, you offer polluted bread." And in their sacrifices, they were bringing the blind and the lame and the sick. And he says, "Is it not evil?" And what were these people doing? They were giving God their worst. Notice that, "Do all right. I'll be all right. That'll do all right." Are we not the same sometimes? Just something that'll pass. Just pass, friends. That'll do. Friend, this was not Abraham. Abraham ran. He ran to give his very best here for God, you see. Many in the congregation over the past week, I know they give their time and give their talents, and God will take note of that. And I'm not mentioning any names, but I know people who give up their holidays just to be at a holiday Bible club to help out. I tell you, that's a big sacrifice. To give your holidays up. But there are people who did things like this. And God, no doubt, will take notice of this. And Abram's here, sacrifice. He was given his best for God. Think of what Christ did for us, friends. His love, his mercy, coming from heaven down into this world and bleeding and dying upon the cross that we might be saved. He gave us all. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Well, no sacrifice that I give Christ, friend, is too big. When I think what he did for me, and I think what he's going to do for me and bringing me to heaven, we lay all at the feet of Christ. Abram's sacrifice, it was great, friends. Can I say about Abram's state in his work? Because we find here that it was a state of humiliation. Because we find here in verse 2, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door. And notice, and bowed himself toward the ground. This is man doing a work for God. This is this man serving the Lord. How does he do it? He's down on his knees. He's down before God upon his face. He's bowing down before the Lord of glory. He's bowing before the God of his salvation. My friend, think about his state. He's humbled himself before the Lord. And that's how we serve the Lord. Humility. We're to be humble in our service for the Lord. This man bowed before the Lord. Notice in his humiliation, he called himself a servant. We see that in verse 3. I pray thee from thy servant. At the end of verse 5, he talks about your servant. He didn't say, well, you know who I am. I'm the friend of God. So he was. He never said, I'm the father of the faithful. God's going to do great things through me. He could have said these things, but he never said them. He said, know what I am? I'm just a servant of the Lord. I'm thy servant. I'm your servant. You see, friends, his humiliation here, his state of humiliation. And that's the same with you and I. We serve in the Lord, Acts 20, verse 19. With all humility of mind. And we are to serve him. Remember, we are bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. We're nothing in ourselves. We are the servants of the living God. In Romans 6 verse 22. But now being made free from sin. And become servants to God. And the word servant means slave. What a wonderful change Christ has made in our life. He has saved us. And brought us into his ministry. And to serve him. In some measure. And what are we, friends? We're servants to God. That's what we are. Nothing else. What we are this morning is by the grace of God to every one of his children. So we should humble ourselves before the Lord. This man's shown his state of humiliation here. Think even also that he calls his feast a morsel of bread. Look at verse 5. He says, and I will fetch a morsel of bread. And comfort ye your hearts. You know something, friend? That's what he called it, a morsel of bread. It was a great steak dinner. He didn't boast about it. I said, I'm just going to make you a morsel of bread. But they got a steak dinner. And it reminds us, of course, that we not to boast what we do for the Lord. We have nothing to boast about. Our boast is of Christ, of course. What he has done for us. We're not to blow or to boast what we're doing for the Lord or beat our own drum, because the 2 Corinthians 10, verse 18 tells us, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. And child of God, if we're really honest with ourselves, we have nothing to boast about. I am the Lord's. He has saved me. I am his servant. I am nothing. And whatever we do for the Lord, it's only like a morsel of bread. That's how he described it himself. He was a humble man. Humility really reigned in his heart. Then I think of Christ, the Lord of glory. He humbled himself, the Bible says. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Yet he came into this world, friends, took upon himself the likeness of man's flesh. He went to the cross and he bled and died for us. He did it with humility. And that's how we are to serve the Lord, with humility. Augustine was asked one time, what was the first of the religious graces? And he says, humility. They asked him, what's the second one? And he says, humility. And they asked him, what's the third one? And he said, humility. I said, I think if we are humble, we have all the graces. Lord, keep me low. Keep me close to thee. So I find this man running, but I see a state of humiliation. I am thy servant. He called his food just a morsel of bread, friends. Here's a man who was humble. He even talked about washing their feet in verse 4. Let a little water, I pray you, be fast and wash your feet. The lowly task, even washing their feet, if so be. Nothing was so low for this man of God, friends. Are you and I prepared to do the lowly task for Christ? Or do we like the great one? And over the past week, I tell you this, there are people had the lowly task. I can maybe stand up at the front and do the singing and the actions, and I'm seen. Well, that just happens to be my job. There's people in the background cleaning, cooking, making tea, humble tasks behind the scenes, and need it greatly. Greatly helped. Just doing the humble task for Christ. And that's all maybe you say, no, I can do. Well, then let's rise to do it. Let's rise to do it. To serve the Lord with all of our heart, friends. Let's serve him with humility. Even the little tasks that need to be done in this church, whatever it may be, let's rise to do it. There's a little work for Jesus that only you can do. And so I find this man running. I find his state of humiliation. And then Abram's support for the work as well, because there was a great unity here in this work. And Abram serving the Lord. There was Sarah, his wife. You see that in verse 6. He ran in, hastened into the tent onto Sarah, and make ready. He said, give the orders here to Sarah. There was verse 7. He talked about the young man, and Abram man himself, and he picked the best calf. He picked it, but he gave it a young man to dress it. And then there was milk, of course, and there was butter. No doubt there were people who worked in that capacity as well. So what I'm saying to you is this. When Abram rose to work, there were other people working. He had other people doing jobs. Now, Abram was in control, and I want to say you need somebody in control of the work. I'm not going to name names in the pulpit who I think was in control in the Holiday Bible Club. It probably wasn't me. I was in control of my part of the meeting. But there are others in control of their part and did a great job, I have to say. But friends, we're laborers together in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, for we're laborers together with God. It's God's work. And we need everyone on board in God's work. And this witness in Portie Down here in this church, we need everybody on board doing the work for Christ, whatever it may be. Whatever it may be, praying. That's even coming to the meetings. He can come to sit among children, I think of Holiday Bible Club. Giving out tracts, putting them through the doors, whatever it may be. Standing beside someone preaching the gospel in the open air, whatever that may be. I say this morning, not all of us can do the same thing. And I admit this. There's things I can't do in the ministry, but we want to do what we can do. And you know the work that you can do for the Lord. We need support. We need to arise. We've been swamped with the cults going around the homes. And all our false religions are springing up. We have the truth. We have the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's do all we can to support the work at home, mission field, whatever the case may be. There's a work for Jesus Christ for all of us to do. And I'm back round. We have only one opportunity. And it's going past. Soon will be in for me, myself, and for you. Abram ran. That's why he's running. He means business. Time is short. There's a work for Jesus Christ. He's running. He's the oldest man that I think in the Bible who's running. Now, I can't go out and run the roads, do marathons, and maybe you can't either. But God doesn't ask us to do that. There's a work we can do for him. You do it, my friends. Attend the prayer meetings. Help out in the children's work, outreach work. There's another couple of weeks coming off, I think, with young people here. Whatever you can do. If you missed the boat there last week, don't miss the next one. Say, well, there's going to be something I can do. Has God touched your heart? I hope he has challenged your heart here this morning. I hope he has touched your heart this morning. And you're going to be like Abraham. He said, I've been sitting. I've been idle. I'm going to rise. I'm going to run for God. Whatever way it may be. Whatever I can do for him. Because I love Christ who loved me. And he gave himself for me. And he's my Savior. So let's run for Christ. And let's serve him with all of our heart.